The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better. Into the narrative of the book of Acts we travel to understand what things the Lord doth require of
David
us.
David Spoon's life.
As we learn to apply, I don't know what happened there, as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives, we seek to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. First, Jesus told the disciples to wait for the promise. After Jesus ascended, about 10 days later, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place. The prophecy of Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 was fulfilled. Here comes the kaboom! Prophecy is fulfilled, and the church becomes a more enormous rock. Next, we examine the difference between being baptized with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, Virginia, there is a difference. We cannot separate the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but if we can be closer to the Father and go deeper with Jesus, why can't there be more of the Spirit? And finally, there is a purpose for power ministry. The objective is the same reason Jesus walked in the power, to verify the gospel truth. The idea that God does not demonstrate the kingdom's power is the idea that he no longer wants to back up his message. Say what? That is not right.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? What do you think? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. You can always email david@hemustincrease.org. You can even email that to say, I saw a picture of you. You're ugly. I don't care. You can say, wow, you have no hair. Well, it makes counting for my head a lot shorter for the Lord to count the hairs on my head. That's all. You can send it to david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. Actual telephone. Wow, a telephone. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, Terrific T will answer the phone, and that's like a gentle breeze on a warm day. Come on. That's nice. Isn't that nice? It is nice. Here's the deal. It can be for praise reports, maybe something the Lord's doing in your life, prayer requests. It can be something that the Lord is working on you. It could be, and you got a question about it. It could be something that you're just thinking about, something that you've observed. As long as you're keeping it in an encouragement format, we're for it. We support it. You can reach out to us with any of those things, plus Bible trivia. Oh, wait, Bible trivia? Well, it just so happens right here that I have a Bible trivia question right here in my hand. Who said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other? Ooh, who said that? Wowzer, somebody said that. Already getting responses and already correct answers. Good job, people, good job. Here's the bottom line to our show. Ready? Ready? Any topic is open for conversation. I'm still going to do the teaching the best that I can. Keep in mind, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And most of the time, we really do think it's just two tin cans and a string. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's called the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. Let's see. Before we get into the text, We do want to offer up the website because that's the place where you can give. You don't have to give. You're not required to give. We're not going to come knocking on your door if you do or don't give. And we're not going to send you anything one way or another if you do or don't give, because all we do is give you a receipt at the end of the year because we're a tax-deductible ministry. That's it. But we're not going to give you any special anointed rock. You can just pick up a rock off the ground if you really want one. That's that opportunity. So we're going to go to the website, and then we'll take our caller. Here's our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Check it out if you get a chance. We do have somebody who's answering the trivia question, so I'm going to lean over and touch the button. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Good day, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Always wonderful to hear your voice. All right. I don't think this is a hard one, but it is kind of a disgusting one in its own way. Who said divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other? Who said that?
Wasn't it Solomon?
That is correct, King Solomon. Settling a dispute between two women, and the premise there is that the one with bitterness would have taken anything, and the one that was truly the mom and compassionate was like, she would yield so that didn't happen. That's how Solomon nailed that down. Yeah, that's a good one right there. I mean, you got to give that. A lot of credit goes to that. That's good thinking. Excellent job, Deborah. Thank you so much. Good job to open it up with on this hour. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and you all have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, ma'am. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I don't think I forgot anything else, did I? No? All right. Okay. All right, so now it's time to do... Uh-oh. It must be time for the sound. It must be time for Expository Thursday Sound.
Wow! Wow! All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Now, somebody wants to know what that has to do with the show or the teaching? Absolutely nothing. I just think it's a funny routine. So, sorry, that's how it goes. Let's get into the text. We have already covered, we're in the book of Acts. If you want to know how it started off or the background, we've got that on podcast. You always go to hemustincrease.org. The podcasts are connected there. Last week we got all the way up through verse 7. Now we're going to be at verse 8. We're going to be here the whole show because there's so much here. You're going to be like, wowzer. All right, here's what verse 8 says. I will actually back it up to verse 7 to give us a little runway. And he said to them, referring to Jesus, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Power. Let me explain something to you about power. I want to use the simpler terms. The word power here is dunamos in the Greek. From that word, many years later, comes the word dynamite. Okay, from that word, many years later. But it gives you an idea of where that word leads and what it's trying to communicate and what's being said when it talks about power. Now, here's something that I'm going to share with you that I promise you, if you catch this, you will, if you end up going to seminary or you end up getting a post-seminary degree, because there is such a thing, this will save you 1 year's worth of time. Okay? All right. Remember what Jesus said. He said earlier in the text that he wanted them to wait in Jerusalem. He wanted them to not depart from Jerusalem. In fact, verse 4 says, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise from the Father. The promise is the Holy Spirit, but look at how that manifests. That promise manifests as power, dunamos, that's coming. Now, here's the thing I'm going to give you that'll help you skip a lot of time. Ready? In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, Jesus said, go therefore. But here in Acts 1, verse 4, and actually at the end of Luke as well, he says, wait. Now, why in one place is it go and the other place is it wait? Well, the Lord wants us to go, but he doesn't want us to go and do in our power. You might be brilliant at speaking. You might be a fantastic person of debate. You might be a person who can really pin people down, and congratulations on that. But Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. And the power of God is flaming inside the gospel, and the Holy Spirit empowers that aliveness to the truth, and it doesn't come from you and me. It comes from God. Here's something that will really offend a lot of people. You don't lead anybody to the Lord. You get to participate in somebody making a decision, and you're fortunate that you get to partner with God. That's cool. But only God saves. And so Jesus tells them, you know what? Power is coming. And I love to think of it in this way. You can get mad at me, but I think it's kind of cute. The kaboom of God is coming. Kaboom! That's what's coming. Now, when we get back into the text, you're going to, I know you guys are going to get a little upset. Just bear with me. It's a lot to get into. But we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit engages with us. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Job, I want to read Job 3:25. I don't want anybody, look, I know that the teachings in the church and being a Baptist, somebody who's got a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, somebody who understands what Calminian means, understands what the manifold millennialist is. I get it. I really do. I've been around for a little while. I just, when you're hearing scripture, you don't have to put all the scriptures you hear in certain boxes so they fit your motif of a theology. Sometimes you can just look at it and observe it and go right for it and review it. And Job chapter 3, verse 25, one of the things that Job said is, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. There's a whole teaching on, it's because your confession wasn't good. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think God was bragging about Job to Satan. Job didn't know that was going on. That's obvious. But there he is. God's bragging about him. And what Job is like going is like, this is the worst thing that I could think of. And that happens to people. Believers. Good believers. Great believers. Fantastic believers. Lousy believers. Believers. And everybody else. It's something that takes place. Sometimes bad things come about in the process. That doesn't mean that God hates you. That doesn't. First of all, the world has rebelled against God and lies in wickedness. So it's not God's fault that the world said, hey, we'll run this planet without you. We'll let you know. I mean, that's not God's fault. He's not the one that did that. People did that. And so the idea to understand is sometimes these tough things happen. The great thing to know is that God has not left and went to Pluto while you're going through these things. In this particular case, in Job, it was completely the opposite of what Job thought, because God was bragging about him and Job thought he was in some kind of trouble or some kind of judgment. Hey, guess what? Job was wrong. Something else was going on altogether, which is often the case. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, normally about this time, I forewarn you that we're going to probably do a joke in this segment. We're not doing a joke in this segment. We're going to do a joke in the third or fourth, in history in the third or fourth. We are going to do trivia, but the nature of what I got to teach is so theological that I don't want you to fall asleep in this next segment, so I want to do my best to present it, and I got to really nurture it and do it as good as I can. But in the meantime, let's at least set the trivia up. What was the name of the man who was released from prison by an angel? What was the name of a man who was released from prison by an angel? There's your big, that's their little clue there. Is the angel part, okay? All right, answers coming in, doing good job. Very, really good job. Very, very good for people. There's your question. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can always text in. That's easy for people too, 214-210-8483. And somebody's calling in, so that's good. Al is giving new terminologies for people's names. That's pretty funny, dude. That's funny. I like it. We're going to take this call, and then I'm going to get into this theological element. And what we're going to talk about, believe it or not, is the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Whatever your theology is, you don't have to get all defensive. You should just hear a point of view that's a little different and not freak out about it. It doesn't mean that anybody is mean, bad, or evil, or anything like that. That's nothing to do with it. All right, you ready? 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 All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Mark.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. I appreciate
that. Well, thank
you
for asking.
You got it. All right, so what was the name of the man who was released from prison by the angel?
Peter.
That is correct, sir! You got it exactly. And Paul and Silas had something cool happen because the prison, it shook, but the angel was the one that came to Peter, who was sleeping, which is funny. And then he's like, wake up, dude, we're leaving. Excellent job. Very, very good.
Well, thank you, sir. You have a blessed day.
Yeah. All right, thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Okay. All right, now you still have to love me. Can I say that? I got 9 minutes. You have 9 minutes. If you don't love me after this, your love for me was very thin. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not even going to use strictly my own material, only because somebody else says this better than I do. Here's the rest of verse 8 that we started with. We said in verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so this, for some reason, has created an enormous amount of division in the church, the Holy Spirit coming upon somebody. And what has happened is, as we know, and as we look through Scripture, these are some of the undeniables. Jesus had to be resurrected and glorified before the Holy Spirit can be poured out, before Joel 2:28 and 29 can happen. Jesus had to resurrect, had to sacrifice his life, then had to resurrect, then ascend to the Father, and his ascension is what enabled the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Got it. That's not a problem. It's not a big deal. It's not as though the Holy Spirit was non-existent. The Holy Spirit was existent in the creation of the earth. Just look at Genesis chapter 1, especially where the Lord says, let us make man in our image, and he wasn't talking about the angels, okay? The plurality of God. Here's the big thing that goes into this process. The Holy Spirit has been working in people's lives throughout the whole Old Testament. All you got to do is look and you get to see David talking about the Holy Spirit and the prophets and Moses, Elijah and Elisha. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. Then you have the Holy Spirit active in the New Testament before the outpouring, because the disciples went at Jesus' command, and what were they doing? They were casting out spirits, people were getting healed. I mean, people were, who were blind were seeing. Hey, that wasn't happening because of the disciples. Especially when you read the story about the disciples and you go, is this like Larry, Moe, and Curly? This is like, these guys were so like, wow, could you mess up more? It's funny. And anyway, so we know that they functioned to some degree, but it wasn't the same as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happens in Acts chapter 2:4. Here's the big dealios, okay? The question, it often is the question of semantics and terminology and phraseology. When we talk about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, it has to do with a person being placed into the realm of the Spirit. That happens when you say yes to Jesus. Just follow along with me, especially my Pentecostal friends, and then on the other side, my Baptist friends when I get to that. That when you say yes to Jesus, Jesus comes into your life. He comes into your heart. The Holy Spirit comes into you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have fruits of the Spirit. Nobody can have any of the fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control. You can't have any of those if you don't have the Holy Spirit. You can't have them from the divine point of view. The Holy Spirit brings that about in your life. Plenty of people that don't understand the charismata at all have a lot of fruit. There's no way they can do it without the Holy Spirit. It's just absurd, okay? So in that, we understand that the Holy Spirit is in us. In our temple, our temple holds the Holy Spirit, and that's through faith in Christ. But that doesn't mean that we're allowing or enabling or sensitive to everything the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives any more than it means that we're doing that in regards to what God the Father wants in our lives. All you got to do is ask yourself this simple question. It just has it. Are you doing every single thing that God wants you to do? And when you say no, recognize, okay, well, are you being sensitive to everything the Holy Spirit's trying to lead you in? Probably not. But what's the difference between the baptism and the being filled? Because it certainly seems as though if the Holy Spirit's coming there with Jesus, there's all of these other things that take place, and you have Ephesians that says be filled with the Spirit. Well, how am I supposed to be filled if I'm already baptized with the Holy Spirit? Allow me to help out a little. To be baptized is to start the process in the Spirit. But it doesn't just stop there, just like it doesn't just stop with Jesus. There's more, and the Lord wants to go deeper, and the Holy Spirit wants to do more in your life. Now, I'm going to read something. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to read something so that you can catch this about the being filled that comes out of Ephesians 5:18. This comes from a theologian. If you ever want to get that information, I'll be glad to send it off. We see examples of repeated filling with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. In Acts 2:4, the disciples and those who were with them were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Later, when Peter was standing before the Sanhedrin, we read Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 4:8. A little later, when Peter's with the other apostles and they returned to the church to tell them what happened, they joined together in prayer, and after they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. That's Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And then 8 verses later, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Even though Peter had been filled at Pentecost, that be Acts 2:4, he was later subsequently filled with the Holy Spirit on multiple occasions. It's just right there in the book of Acts. It's appropriate to understand filling with the Holy Spirit not as a one-time event, but as an event that can occur over and over and over again. The difference between filling and baptizing is the baptizing is the initiating, and the filling is the continual activation of the Spirit in your life. And that's why the Scripture says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, why do some people have a much different experience? Because some people are more open to it. Some people have more faith. Some people are more willing to let the Holy Spirit move in their lives at greater levels. Does that make people who don't worse? No. Everything is exactly as God designed it. Remember the scripture that says, "My times are in your hand, Lord." Remember that passage? My times are in your hand. The Lord will bring about everything he wants to bring, what he wants to bring it about. But the difference between the baptism and the filling 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 is that one's an initial and then the other one occurs on multiple events. And people are like, well, what are you trying to say? That the Holy Spirit's not in me when I accepted Jesus? No, the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit's working on you. The character that you're developing to look and reflect like Jesus Christ, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. But it's going to take a continuation and a regeneration of that, or a refilling, I should say, not regeneration, but a refilling of that on a continual basis for that work to keep going. And don't you think for a second that when it says that don't grieve the Holy Spirit, that some of us haven't done an excellent job of quenching the Spirit in our lives. That's exactly what it is when it says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's like, don't make him sad. You can make the Holy Spirit sad. You can bum the Holy Spirit out. I got a message for you. That means you're not functioning in the fullness of the Spirit. And so you think, well, what do I want? You want to be filled with the Spirit on a regular basis. Well, how do you do that? Jesus told you. Will not the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's not the initial, but it's the ongoing, the filling, the refilling, the refilling, the refilling. And the people that think that way, if you think differently, it's fine. But there's some people that think that way. Okay. Hey, whatever's working for you to draw closer to the Lord, we support it. And you should too, even if you don't agree with it all. You should be like, hey, if that's helping people draw in, I'm there. Because that's what Christian love is. And if you ain't got Christian love, you ain't got much. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
My guest on the phone today is absolutely no exception and is one of the top tiers. I want to say welcome to Dr. David Jeremiah from Turning Point. Dr. Jeremiah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
It's great to have you on the show. I was doing a little bit of research, and I just wanted to ask you because I want to talk about the new book, and I want to talk about the study Bible you just released and Turning Point, but I was going over some of the materials you've done, and on my list I have that you've done at this point, and if I'm wrong, correct me, at least 53 books with 3 New York Times bestsellers and one about to be a 4th New York Times bestseller, 100 Bible study guides, and you sold more than 4 million books. Is that right?
Well, you know more about that than I do, but that sounds probably about right, yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. So everybody who's listening to this broadcast right now, certainly, I'm sure, wants to send out their appreciation for you taking the time and committing yourself to this process. I was going through your background, and as I was reading it, I understand that you actually accepted the Lord as your Savior when you were 14. Is that right?
That's about right. Yeah, that's about how old I was. Yeah.
So you were young when you came into the faith.
Actually, I really had a head start in many respects because I was born into the family of a pastor. And I heard the gospel many, many times and probably had some preliminary experiences before I truly understood it for myself at that age. So I was blessed to be brought up in a Christian home with the message of the gospel very, very familiar to me.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I hope that made some sense for some of you in regards to filling and baptizing, baptizing being initial, filling being subsequent fillings. And you need that. You need to be filled with the Spirit in order to walk the walk. We're going to see how important that is in just a few minutes. But first, we got to do Bible trivia, and then we got to do a little bit of history. So here's the Bible trivia. What was the name of the couple who died because they lied to the Holy Spirit? Well, it's good timing for this, huh? What was the name of the couple who died because they lied to the Holy Spirit? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That shouldn't be that difficult for people. But most people will know this. If you ever heard of a band called the Rez Band, they did a whole song about it. I'm just saying. Let's see. Let's do a quick on the website, and then we'll do history. So don't forget our website. It's a place where you can connect with us. Plus, it's also a place you can give if you want to. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, there you go. So our trivia question that's on the table, well, I guess it's on the table because my book is on the table, so therefore it's on the table. Well, what was the name of the couple who died because they lied to the Holy Spirit? We got people texting in, everybody doing an excellent job on this one, so very, very good. Somebody's hitting it out of the park, hitting every answer correct. I appreciate that. You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. But now it's time for a little bit of history.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, a couple of cool ones. This is going to kind of involve, I'm going to have to ask you, because I have to ask the question because of what the holiday is. Today is Name Yourself Day. Do you like your name, or would you give yourself another name?
I actually love my name.
There you go. It's a beautiful name, so I don't blame you at all. I would go by Lunkhead. I feel Lunkhead would be good. That would be, right? I mean, you couldn't really come up with something to make fun of it because Lunkhead. I think it's self-describing. Today is also Draw a Bird Day. I can't even draw the sun without any of the, I mean, I'm just like no, bad. I'm just bad at art. Just not my, you know, some people have a forte, not mine. It's Zoo Lovers Day. My daughter and son-in-law are big zoo fans. Wherever they go, they try to go to a zoo. They think it's great. Today is National Empanada Day, so that's the pastry that's made from dough. You like empanadas?
Love empanadas.
See? Anything in particular? Do you like the dessert ones, or do you like the meal ones? Because there's
meals.
The meal ones?
Yeah, I think the only one with the dessert that I've seen is like the peach flavor, and I like peaches.
Not into peaches. Well, what do you like? Do you like chicken, beef, steak,
yep,
pork, everything?
All of them.
Okay.
I don't discriminate.
Okay. That's a great line. All right, so National Empanada Day. There you go. Technically, they're from Spain. I don't know if a lot of people don't know that. Let's see. 1893, on this day, the first recorded college basketball game occurred. This is important to me, not to anybody else, but to me, and I got to do one for me. 1953, the first full-length 3D movie from a major movie studio came about. It was 1953. So it's 47, 57, 67. I mean, this is like so long ago. It's like 68 years ago. It's like amazing. Can't believe it. But it was in black and white. They didn't have the color back then. But I bet it was good if you never saw it before. 1966, Time Magazine asked the controversial question, is God dead? 2021, don't worry about a time. You've been dead for years. That's all I'm saying. Time Magazine. What? That's still around? I don't think so. 1989, one-handed pitcher Jim Abbott, born with only one hand, makes his Major League Baseball debut for the California Angels in 1993. He would pitch a no-hitter for the New York Yankees. Wait a minute. How does that work if he's from the California Angels? I don't know. He pitched a no-hitter. That's what matters. Okay. One arm. See, now, if you remember radio days, you would understand why that's funny. See, because in radio days, they show a guy, he's got one arm, he's pitching. Right? And then he goes, but then, and then he has an accident. And then he's got one arm and he only has one leg and he's pitching. Right? And but they go, but then, and then he has another accident. And then he's blind. He's up on the mountain pitching. And the ball like goes out into the stands. It's so funny. That's right, folks. That's what you get. It's your own fault. You're listening. I didn't make you listen. All right, let's go to their next part of this verse. So it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Now, all the things that we're coming up with, their brilliance and all the theology, and you can be Baptist, you can be Baptist, Pentecostal, you can be Church of Christ, you can be Presbyterian, you can be Methodist, you can be anything, any all the way range, anywhere in there. One of the things that is undeniable in all of Scripture is that we are supposed to be witnesses for the Lord. You just can't escape it. Now, unfortunately, what that has produced is a lot of fear in people because they think they have to be witnesses and be able to talk to somebody the way that Billy Graham preached. Well, you don't have to be Billy Graham. And I've said this before and I'll say it again because I worked with the Billy Graham Association for a little bit. Billy Graham wasn't Billy Graham. I mean, everybody just thinks, that's not how it was. You don't have to speak perfectly, be perfectly, communicate, none of that stuff. And if you've got a separate, if you're like an Oral Robertson or you got some other evangelist you really like, great. Okay. You don't have to be like them. That's not what God called you to. But to be a witness is not to be somebody who steps up on a stage and speaks before a bunch of people. To be a witness is to take Jesus with you wherever you go. How about that? To be a witness follows along the teachings that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 when he said that we should have our shoes fitted with the gospel. In other words, wherever you go, you take Jesus with you. That's all. And if somebody, opportunity presents itself and you know that it's an opportunity, share. Nobody's asking you to get a bullhorn and go out into the park on a Saturday and then start screaming at people about how lousy they are. Nobody's asking that. I mean, Jesus didn't do it. I mean, here's Jesus, friend of the drunkards and the sinners. Nobody ever talks about that part. It's so weird. If he was a friend of them, how? That's all I want to know. Because most Christians won't hang out with anybody unless they're a co-Christian. My point in bringing all this up is that we're supposed to be witnesses for the Lord wherever we go. And whatever we do, you take Jesus with you. And the way that you get to move or get to speak is because the Holy Spirit is in you, gives you the insight and what to share, how to share it, when to share it, if we're sensitive. But sometimes we're not mindful of that. And one of the purposes that the Holy Spirit exists inside of you is to be a witness. I mean, he's not in you because he's bored. I'm bored. I'll hang out in David. Well, that's not how that's flying. What it is this. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. What are you witnessing to? You're not witnessing to you. You're not witnessing to your greatness. You're not witnessing to your brilliance. You're witnessing to the things God has done in your life. What did Jesus tell the guy to do who was healed that had all the demons that was in the cemetery? What did he do? What did he say? Go tell people what great things God has done for you. There you go. Wherever he went, he told me, hey, God did this for me. God did this for me. Isn't that cool? You're talking to somebody and they're like, oh, I'm really having a hard time. Oh, I've had that hard time too. I totally understand that. I'm so thankful that I can bring it to the Lord in prayer. That's a witness. And somebody says something, it's like, I just don't know what to do about life. Well, thank you, Jesus. I do. I'm going to keep loving him. There's a witness. You keep thinking the witness has to be some sermon or something. No, it doesn't. And I don't mind that people say your life is a sermon, but unfortunately people focus in on some of the worst parts. Just testify, if the opportunity is there, to Jesus. The Lord will do all the saving and all the working. And you might think, and I've had this happen to me, where you minister, you talk to somebody, you share with somebody, and they don't say yes. And then you think, you failed. It's like, no, I can't save anybody. I can barely encourage people who are right next to me. But God can do it. And if God wants to give a message to somebody, but they're not going to get saved, that's their call. They're going to be, that's between God and them. I don't have to worry about that. That's not my job. My job is to take Jesus wherever I go. And either they say yes, they say no. That's going to be between them and God. Because when they die, it's not going to be me that they're talking. It's going to be the Lord. And so the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life is to help you be a witness. To some degree, you could say that the Holy Spirit can give you some of that courage that the devil is exploiting against you, against your fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. So to some degree, you could say, Holy Spirit, give me the courage. I want to be a witness. But again, I'm not asking you to be a witness in brilliant theological three-point homiletics. How about just saying, thank you, Jesus? That works too. As many people get saved that way as get saved the other way. All right, let me finish on the trivia question that we had. What was the name of the couple who died because they lied to the Holy Spirit? The name of that couple was Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Verse 1 through 10. I always find that story amazing because they were trying to be better than they were. And you don't got to be that way. To be a Christian, you just be yourself. It's up to the Lord. You can trust him for you and for what you show. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Jim Daly, just what a great, I mean, there's some people that are just like enjoyable to talk to. He's one of those kind of people. I'm just letting you know. All right. Trivia and then a few other things. Good trivia. Ready? Ready? People are just like firing on trivia. It's really good. The Israelites were bitten by blank and were healed by looking at the same creature made out of brass. Ooh, pulling out a Numbers chapter 21 for you. The Israelites were bitten by, and they were healed by looking at the same creature, which was made out of brass. Got to fill in that blank. What kind of creature was that, that they were bitten by, and then they would look at, and that would bring about their healing. See, the Lord does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. People are like, well, that doesn't make sense. God doesn't care if you think it makes sense. That's the great thing about the will of God. He ain't asking. That's what I love about the Lord. Okay, so if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770 is the phone number to call in. You can also text 214-210-8483 for the text. The Israelites were bitten by what kind of creature? And were healed by looking at the same creature made out of brass. Again, the reference point is going to be Numbers chapter 21. I have in my hand very short yet somewhat interesting jokes. Are you ready with the buzzer? She's ready. All right. Not long to go. We got, what do we got? 10 minutes? Yeah, we got this. Okay, that's right. All right, here we go. All right. This first one's short but funny. Very short. As the storm raged, the captain realized his ship was sinking fast. He called out, "Anyone here know how to pray?" One man stepped forward. "Aye, Captain. I know how to pray." "Good," said the captain. "You pray while the rest of us put on life jackets." We're one short. They're one short. Not bad. Not bad. Here's another really short one. This is so good. You'll like this. You won't like the last one as much. You'll like this one. So far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. That's pretty good. All right. Such a good one. All right. A party of Methodist ministers were attending an annual conference. Nobody's picking on Methodists. Relax. A party of Methodist ministers was attending an annual conference at a private countryside resort. Several of them set off to explore the area, and presently they came upon an old bridge that crossed a quiet pond. So it's over a pond. Unfortunately, they did not notice a sign declaring the bridge unsafe. They crossed it, and the caretaker came running after them. "Hey, you there, get off that bridge," he protested. "It's all right," declared one of the ministers. "We are in this resort with permission. We're Methodists from the conference." "Well, I'm not worried about that," replied the caretaker. "But if you don't get off that bridge, you'll all be Baptists soon." Not bad, right? That's three jokes. None of them were that bad, right?
They weren't. They were cheesy.
Cheesy. Cheesy. It's like a cheese doodle. Cheesy. I'm going to have to remember that. All right, let me finish up. I know people are just like, "Oh, my gosh." But you guys are listening. You can't get mad at me. All right, let me finish off on the text here, as we'll do it all together in one portion. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Talked about the power. We talked about the Holy Spirit coming upon and the difference between baptism and the filling of the Spirit. "And you shall be witnesses to me." Doesn't mean you got to be Billy Grahams. You can just be yourself. But take Jesus with you wherever you go. "You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." What's fascinating about this verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is this is the actual outline for the book of Acts. I find stuff like this absolutely thrilling and fascinating. Chapters 1 through 7 are all dealing with Jerusalem. Chapters 8 and 9 deal with Judea and Samaria. And chapters 10 through 28 deal with the rest of the earth. And so when Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth," he was telling them how it was going to go, how the church process was going to go, and that's exactly how the book of Acts records it. One of the most amazing things that people miss about bibliology and understanding the study of the Bible is Jesus told them how the next 40 years were going to go. In one verse. And that's exactly how it went. That's what happens when you're God. You get to do that. And part of this, part of the understanding, is many churches will take on, like the church I attend, Stillwater Community Church in Rowlett, uses this verse as part of the commission, part of the fulfillment for the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, and understand that we need to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And a great illustration, I was watching these pastors doing teachings on this, and I enjoy stuff like that. And the guy drew a circle. So he drew a circle and he said, "Okay, this circle is me." Okay, so it's a circle. See, this is my kind of guy. He draws a circle to draw himself. That's the way I need to do it. Then he draws a circle around, and he goes, "See this first circle around? This is my Jerusalem. This is, you know, people I run into. This is people where, you know, where I go, you know, if I'm going bowling or I go shopping or where I do all my different things, where I go to work. This is the first circle." Then he takes another circle and goes wider around that. He goes, "Now this is my Judea and Samaria. This is an area, man, I go to maybe once in a while, but I don't travel very much. This is that next arena." He goes, and then he draws this huge circle and he goes, "And this is the ends of the earth," where it goes all the way out. And that's the witness for all of us to participate in. We need to be aware that we need to be witnesses in Jerusalem, our most immediate circle, in Judea and Samaria, that next widening circle, and to the ends of the earth, wherever it is that we go. And some people read this passage and they try to go, listen, there's nothing wrong with this, to the ends of the earth, to witness, to share. And you think, well, why do they do that? Well, the reason that they do that is because once the gospel has reached its saturation point and being fulfilling in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, once it's done, it's going to be done. It's going to be ding, 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 trumpet time, and everything's going to change. So the more people they get witness to, I mean, my wife says it, in a wonderful way, I think, giving her props on this. Let me just say that. She's just like, "I can't wait till that last person hears the gospel who needs to hear the gospel." This is like when the last person hears it, ding, 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 we're done. Time to go. It's like, right. And that's why people reach and try and reach out. But that's the idea. The idea is to expand that in our own Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And it's an outline for the book of Acts. And then you look at Acts 1:8, and you understand why it's connected to the Great Commission. It says that you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You should be witnesses of me to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Well, that's what Jesus said. Go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the way, the word name in the Greek is singular. So if everybody's trying to figure out the Trinity, that's just a cool reality. Baptizing the name in the name singular, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not in the names, but in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be making disciples. A lot of things that we want to do. Making disciples is the big one. Teaching them to observe what I've taught you. And what did Jesus teach us? Well, if you look at the road to Emmaus, he showed them, and you look at the disciples, he taught them about the kingdom, about the old scriptures, about the things that he said. He taught them all about the word of God, the truth, the reality, his sacrificial atonement, his resurrection, his return. That's what we're supposed to be sharing. That's what we're supposed to be teaching people. And I think that's the call. This Acts 1:8 is everybody's fulfillment to fulfill that call of the Great Commission. They're connected, as is Acts chapter 2:42, also connected, as is the other endings to the gospel. You want to fulfill the Great Commission that Jesus gave, then you want to respond to the gospel, bring the gospel to others, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, love your neighbors, you love yourself. Both of those are actually part of the commission. It's amazing that people don't realize that. Those are the summations of the law. We're supposed to be studious in the word, search the scriptures to see whether these things are so, Jesus said. We're supposed to be prayerful. Teach us to pray. When you pray, say, Our Father, who art thou in heaven. Teaching them how to be persistent in prayer. And then additionally, and something that I think that gets missed a lot, is this attitude, this disposition of gratitude. In over 500 passages in the Old and New Testament, it tells us to be grateful, to be thankful, to be full of thanksgiving, or to appreciate God, to honor God, to bring glory to God. That's another part of that. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, I think it's 35 or 45, one of those verses, it talks two times about all the people being glad of heart and full of joy. Okay? All right. That's important stuff. All right. What kind of creature was it that they got bit by and then they looked at, was on, turned into brass and on a pole? It was a serpent. Which is very bizarre. Just shows you God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and doesn't care what people think. All right, folks, that was fun. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Who knows when a broken heart will mend.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.